Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sopcich, Catholic blogger. Today we have with us Father John Bartunek. He received his BA in history from Stanford University in 1990. He comes from an evangelical Christian background and became a member of the Catholic Church in 1991. After college, he worked as a high school history teacher, drama director, and baseball coach. He then spent a year as a professional actor in Chicago before entering the religious congregation of the Legionaries of Christ in 1993. He was ordained a Catholic priest in 2003 and earned his doctorate in moral theology in 2010. He provided spiritual support on the set of Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ while researching the 2005 Catholic bestseller Inside the Passion. He's contributed news commentary regarding religious issues on CNN, Fox, and the BBC. Father currently resides in Michigan and continues his writing apostolate at rcspirituality.org. Today, we'll be discussing the new release of his book, The Better Part, A Christ-Centered Resource for Personal Prayer. Welcome back to the show, Father John.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good to be back.
So I guess to start with, we've talked about this before, The Better Part. I love that book, that volume. It's been very helpful to my own prayer life and many more. But this one release is a little bit different. It's in a different format. What makes this version from Sophia Institute Press different from the original?
Okay, well, this is actually kind of a little dream come true for me. The original version of The Better Part contains the first part of the book is an explanation of Christian meditation, how to do it, what it is, what the history of it is. And then the second part is all four Gospels with commentaries that are designed to help you pray through them, meditate on them. And it's all in one volume. So the original book is over 1,000 pages long with fairly small typeface.
Mm-hmm.
So this new release divides that into four separate volumes, one for each of the Gospels. So the volumes are a little bit more portable, and the print is a little larger, so a little easier to read. So the idea was, now you have two options. You can get everything in one volume if you want to keep it all together, or if you want something a little bit more portable and with, you know, a little easier to read, mm-hmm. you can get the four-volume version.
Yeah, I'm kind of liking the four-volume myself a bit. So everyone I talk to that has used this book, I've actually gifted it to people as well, the original one, absolutely loves The Better Part. And before we get into the nuts and bolts of it and prayer in general, did you ever expect when you first penned it and released it that it would gain such popularity?
Well, that was my hope. was that it would get to everybody. You know, I mean, because it's meant to be. It's really not me telling people what to think, you know? It's not me just sharing my ideas. This book is meant to be a tool to actually help people either go deeper in their personal prayer by meditating on the Gospels or actually learn how to engage in mental prayer, Christian meditation, and focused on the Gospels, the Gospel texts themselves. So, I mean, it was my hope that it would be a useful tool, and that's been proven over the years. It's been, I think, this is the 7th or 8th edition, and a new format.
Yeah. So these volumes, again, as you mentioned, this time out, it's one for each of the Gospels. They focus on personal prayer time, as you mentioned. And in today's climate, we find ourselves in with pandemic, social unrest, and who knows what else is coming. The murder hornets failed, apparently. So let's hold our breath. Why is establishing a personal prayer life and that prayer time so important?
Well, I think it's always important. It's always been important. And in these times, with some of the extra stressors we've all been experiencing, I think people just have maybe seen with greater clarity just how important it is. Here's the liturgical prayer is the prayer of the body of Christ together. Then we're also called to develop a personal prayer life, which usually includes some vocal prayer where we pray prayers, use other people's words, famous prayers, and then what we call mental prayer, which is really a quiet time alone with God, where we listen to him, speak to our hearts, and we respond. And it's in that type of person, that's the most personal type of prayer. And that's all the spiritual writers in the history of Christian spirituality agree that creating that kind of space in our lives is really, it's a prerequisite for being able to kind of grow in our communion with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit so that we can be guided towards the fullness of life and towards kind of the fruitfulness that each one of us is called to live. Mm-hmm. Our relationship with God is very personal. He's a real person and we're a real person. So your relationship with God and mine is going to be different. We're all both going to be friends of Jesus, but our friendship is going to be a little bit different. And this time kind of creating space where you can have this real personal time of Christian meditation is what allows that unique relationship to develop. It's a critical element in making that happen. Mm-hmm. And that becomes the anchor for our lives amidst all the storms. And we've been experiencing a lot of storms in our society in recent months. And when we don't have an anchor, those storms can really upset us, distract us. We can get thrown off course.
Right.
And when we do have the anchor, then we're able to kind of navigate. We're able to keep first things first and keep clarity and keep growing in our spiritual lives in spite of the storms, or maybe even sometimes because of the storms.
Mm-hmm. So these volumes obviously focus on Scripture, and I hear this a lot and kind of wanted to get your take on this. What do you say to those who think Scripture is boring or too hard to understand?
What do I say to people who say Scripture is too hard to understand and the first part was?
Or boring.
Or boring.
Yeah.
Ah, right. Oh, well, then I would say you got to try a new approach. The Scriptures themselves, I mean, maybe your experience for whatever reason was that it was obscure and boring or boring. But especially when actually that's an interesting question now that I think about it. These volumes of the better part focus on the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the first books of the New Testament, right? And they bring out what Christ himself lived, what he said, what he did, his teachings, and his life. And that's really the core of all of Scripture. When you pick up a Bible, and if you just kind of look at, it's a big, thick book, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Gospels are actually a very small portion. But they're like the key that unlocks everything else. Everything that came before in the Old Testament was a preparation for the life and mission and teaching of Jesus. And everything that goes after the Gospels, the book of Acts, and then the letters of the New Testament, and then the book of Revelation, that's all an unfolding of the early life of the church and how we live the message of Christ. So the real key that unlocks the meaning of everything is the person of Jesus, as he's presented to us by the Holy Spirit in the Gospels. So I would say, if there's so much to get out of digging into Scripture, I'm not talking about intellectual study, I'm talking about praying with this inspired Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a living Word, right? So there's so much to get out of it. So if your experience has been so far that Scripture is just too boring or it's just too obscure, I can't understand it, then pick up the better part and allow yourself a fresh experience of the core, the key to understanding all of scriptures, which are the four gospels and the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. But I think that the commentaries that are in the better part will, you know, from the experience of people who use it, it's not boring and it helps make the meaning clear.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can speak from experience to that as well. So many people go through periods of difficulty in prayer, the best of us, even the saints talk about this. How do we get out of those funks where we're feeling like we're not getting anything out of it, or where we're trying to pray, but we're constantly distracted?
Yeah, okay, well, that's a great question. The first part of the better part is called, I think it's called the Fundamentals of Christian Meditation. It's kind of an introduction to how we do this type of prayer. And one of the sections there talks about the difficulties, the perennial difficulties in our life of prayer, which are distraction and sloth or laziness, right? And mm-hmm. the reason behind those difficulties, I want to gauge what I say here because I could talk for a long time trying to answer the question you just gave. So we do our prayer in an atmosphere of faith. I can't see and hear Jesus the same way I can see and hear you. I can't go to Panera Bread and have a cup of coffee, you know, with him the way I can with you.
Mm-hmm.
So our relationship and our conversation with God takes place in an atmosphere of faith. And the exercise of faith is requires spiritual effort, right? And that can be tiring and can be difficult at times. And then if we're actually having a real conversation with God, and I talk about what that looks like and how you do that in the first part of the better part, when we're having that conversation, it's not infrequent that God may inspire us to do something that is a little uncomfortable. You know, he may invite us to step outside of our comfort zone in order to keep following him. So in order to enter into an atmosphere of faith and be open to hearing whatever God may say to us, we have to also have docility. So those are spiritual attitudes and even virtues which take effort. So going to prayer is very different than binge watching your favorite TV show, which doesn't require either faith or docility. It's just enjoyment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but in a relationship with God, we have to exercise those virtues. So in the early stages of the spiritual life, what's most important to overcome or to meet those difficulties, because they never go away completely, but to meet them is simply persistence, humble persistence. Make a decision and persevere in your effort. It's also very helpful to have some kind of structure that you can use to give to your time alone with God. And that's what I provide in this section of the better part, which explains Christian meditation. And then as we go along in our spiritual life, we can go through seasons where, you know, we're actually doing our part. You know, we're not attached to sin, mortal sin. We're using the sacraments. We're being consistent in our prayer life. We're being docile to the Holy Spirit as we hear his voice. And even so, we find ourselves in periods of maybe dryness, or even darkness in our prayer, or a little bit of disillusionment. We don't feel God's presence the way we used to in prayer. And that's part of God's pedagogy, leading us to a deeper level of trust and intimacy with him.
Mm.
And when you experience that, that can be very disorienting. It's really useful to have a spiritual mentor or a spiritual director who you can talk with when you're going into a season like that. That's very different than kind of, oh, it was hard to pray today because I was really distracted. No, it's a season
right.
of darkness or dryness, and God is always giving something during those seasons. And so the key is to be able to respond with humility and with love to whatever he's giving. So it really is helpful to have somebody to talk to during those seasons.
Right. And again, I think it's helpful to remind people, you know, Mother Teresa talked about it herself, where she went through these periods of darkness where she felt like she was calling and no one was answering.
Yeah, and I mean, just one of the frequent, to kind of take it one more step, right? So if one of the listeners or some of the listeners are identifying with this kind of a season of darkness or difficulty in their prayer, one of the things to keep in mind is, there can be a transition in our mental prayer where we go from more meditative prayer, where we're doing a lot of work, we're thinking about what we're reading, we're asking questions, and then you can transition towards more contemplative mental prayer, which is where God actually wants to do more work directly, and he invites us to simply to be more simple, to be present and not to think so much and not to try and stir up feelings, because we can get distracted with our own effort, right? And so he will work in hidden ways, and sometimes he's inviting us to just be quiet and accept whatever he gives, which may be just a sheer act of faith is what we need to give him. So that can be one of the things that he does. He can work more directly, and we transition. Our prayer becomes simpler, and that, too, can be disorienting. If God's inviting us to be less busy during our time of prayer, then we can start feeling like, well, I'm not doing anything. I'm not really praying very well. What's going on? Mm-hmm. So that's, again, why it's really good to have someone to talk to about how our prayer life is going.
With that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to get into more of the nuts and bolts of the better part. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
I have a quiz for you. What is one of the greatest gifts parents can give to their children? It's something children ask for often. When this gift is received, the entire family is incredibly joyful and transformed on the special occasion of the arrival of this masterpiece. This gift calls for faith, courage, and generosity on the part of the givers. It lasts for many decades, only getting better, changing, and developing each day. This magnificent gift is unique and can never be repeated, but a similar gift can be added approximately every year. This gift can only be given by three persons agreeing and acting. Have you guessed it yet? Yes, this profound gift is that of welcoming another child. And the three persons agreeing are husband, wife, and God. I'm Jim Littleton, FormingFaithfulFamilies.com.
Welcome back to Off the Shelf. We're spending today with Father John Bartunek, and we're discussing his new release of The Better Part, a Christ-centered resource for personal prayer, this time a four-volume set. And Father, I want to spend some time here for those unfamiliar with the book. I mean, you and I can talk all day long about how good it is, but I'd like to kind of get into how it works and some of the details you included in it. And you walk through four steps of a meditation process that you use. So I wanted to go through each of those four steps to kind of give people a little oversight of what it is they're getting with these volumes. And the first of those is concentrate.
Right. So the four steps are, we call them the four C's. And these are, I didn't invent these. What I did was, kind of studying all various methodologies for Christian meditation that have been used by various schools of spirituality throughout the history of the church. What I kind of identify, at least in my opinion, these four steps are common to all the different forms and methods of meditation. So my interpretation of that is these are the essential kind of underpinnings of any type of this type, anyone doing this type of prayer. So this kind of universal steps. So it's nice to have a basic structure, but because it's so basic, it's also flexible. So the first step is concentrate, which means, when I go to meet with a friend, going back to our cup of coffee together, have a cup of coffee, first thing I do is, I sit down, I look at him, and I turn off my phone, and I kind of focus, and we get into tune with each other. We focus on each other so that we can have our conversation. The concentrate step, the first step, is simply reminding ourselves that God is present and focusing my attention on him and on, what I'm hoping to receive, what I'm hoping to give. So it's very helpful to have a place that I pray in the same place on a regular basis. It's very helpful to have everything I need there, copy of the Bible or a copy of the Better Part, my prayer journal. And also that it's a place where it's going to be quiet, where I'm not going to be distracted. So the concentrate is kind of setting the stage. It's getting into a place where of quiet, where I can listen and be alone at peace with the Lord.
And then we move from that to the second step, which is in our second C, consider.
Right. So consider once I've expressed what's on my heart to the Lord and I've renewed my faith in his presence, his love for me, all that happens in the concentrate stage, as I explain in the book, then I want to listen to what God has to say to me. So I open up the scriptures, or the better part, which has the scriptures in them, and I very kind of slowly and with no pressure, I just begin to read, and I begin to reflect on what I'm reading. Reflect from, what is God saying to me through this? What is he saying to me about himself? What is he saying about me? What is he revealing to me about the world? And it's important not that I do that consideration with my mind and also my heart, so that I'm not just kind of exploring things intellectually, but I'm actually trying to hear what he has to say to me today. And usually in this part, the consideration, the second step, something, if I'm going through one of the units of the better part, for instance, something will strike me in a special way. Like I'll read a sentence or two, or I'll read a verse from the Gospels, and it will strike me in a special way. And so that's where I want to pause and reflect and kind of savor it and ask, what is God saying? Why is that striking me? What does that mean to me in the here and now of my life? So this all happens in the consideration stage, the second stage of a meditation.
And then as you progress through, you come to step three, which is converse.
And converse. So that's when, if what I've been listening to God in the consideration stage, and then I respond to him. So this is where the conversation, I respond to him in my own words. I might be meditating on the crucifixion and I'm struck by the pain that Christ is experiencing, or I'm struck by the word of mercy that he has for the good thief. And so then as I consider that, I find myself moved to respond. I may be moved to respond to ask for something. Lord, I want to be able to live with that kind of mercy. I want to be able to love people even when I don't feel strong enough to love them. So you can ask for that. Or it can be a kind of a simple prayer of praise. Or your mercy is amazing. Thank you for your mercy. So you can praise, you can have an act of adoration, a petition. It can also be it can be very simple sometimes. Sometimes it's just, you just kind of gaze with wonder at what God sees. And so you're it's almost a wordless converse. You just kind of embrace him and you just savor what you've heard. So the converse part is where I respond to what God has spoken to my heart. So that's how, and the consider and the converse, the second and third steps of the meditation, you can go back and forth between those many times. If you have a 20-minute time alone with God in the morning, you know, within that you might only take 5 minutes for the concentrate, and then you could take, you know, 10, almost 15, almost the whole time going back and forth between consider and converse. So once I've spoken from my heart in response to what God has spoken to me, then I go back and consider again. I go back and I read and I look for something else that strikes me. I consider that, and then I converse with our Lord about that. And so I can go back and forth between those two steps multiple times within one meditation.
Mm-hmm. And then the final step, step four, is commit.
Yeah, so that, going back to our analogy of having a cup of coffee with a friend, you know, when the time comes and you got to go to work, or your friend has to go to work, or time to move on, then you wrap up the conversation. You don't just, like, leave in the middle of the conversation. You wrap it up. You know, you might talk, oh, it was great to talk about this, it was great to see you again, or hey, when are we going to see you next, or, you know, so you wrap it up. So the commit as the fourth step of a meditation is when I recommit myself to following Christ. And it could be, you know, just a general, you could use a favorite prayer, you could use a vocal prayer, or even the Our Father, or you could make a specific resolution based on what you meditated on. Maybe God inspired you, to call someone you haven't spoken to for a long time, to ask for forgiveness from someone, to reach out and serve, you know, or to exercise a particular virtue that day. So you can recommit yourself by committing yourself to a particular resolution, or just in general, Lord, help me today. To be your disciple and to be your ambassador, your missionary. This is what I want. I want to help build your kingdom. So wrapping up the meditation time with a recommit is an act of love, and that really helps us stay in focus in our lives as Christians. And if it comes out of the consider and converse, that conversation, then it really is renewing for our hearts and strengthening of our virtue. So it's very important to kind of end the prayer well, with some kind of a renewed commitment. After kind of hearing what God has said to me and God's commitment to me, then I renew my commitment to Him at the end of that time of prayer.
And that, and it's a really complete process, and it's great. And the better part really leads you through that, through the reflections that are included in it. I think an important step to the whole process in any prayer time is getting into the presence of God, and that can be really difficult. You know, we're so tied to everything with our with the walking computers we have in our pockets now, and it's hard to turn those distractions off. What tips can you give listeners for creating that space away that allows us to enter into that presence and have that alone time that we need?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's interesting that you kind of clicked on that challenge. I want to go back to what we were talking about earlier, that our relationship with God is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to actually learn or reflect about what helps activate my awareness that God is with me, caring about me, loving me. And for different people, different things will be more helpful. But that's really what we're talking about, entering into God's presence. I mean, He's always present, but we want to become aware of it so that we can have this conversation. So, for instance, let me give an example. In the concentrate stage, right, the very beginning of our meditation, some people really find it very easy to perceive God's presence and goodness in the beauty of nature. So you'd encourage someone who has that to choose the place for their prayer and the time on a regular basis. You always want to be very regular, have a regular place and a regular time. You can have variations, obviously, now and then, but regularity in those externals, it can help a lot to get rid of distractions and make it easier to concentrate. But you want that place to be somewhere where you're gonna have some vision or some glimpse, at least, right? You're gonna be able to see the beauty of nature, mm-hmm. because that you know from your experience that it's easy for you to find God's to become aware of God's presence when you admire the beauty of trees or a lake, right? So that might help someone. That might be a distraction to someone else. For someone else, it may be music. Maybe beautiful music, sacred music. So you could begin your time of prayer with playing, you know, listening to a song, a piece of sacred music that helps you kind of calm your soul and tune into God. For others, it can be, we could go on infinitely with examples, but for others, what can be really helpful is to have a little journal, a prayer journal, and to begin your time of prayer. Maybe make the sign of the cross, and then simply start writing a note to Jesus. Just start writing, because some people, when they write, it helps concentrate all the powers of their soul. And so that's what helps them enter into God's presence most. For others, it can be you take one favorite verse from the Bible, and you repeat it a few times. You repeat it. One of my favorites is, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord," from the Psalms. So sometimes at the beginning of my prayer, especially if I find myself kind of turbulent or distracted or worried about something, sometimes I'll just begin with that and I'll repeat that over and over again a few times. And that will help remind me that I'm in the presence of God and God is here and He's got something for me and it's going to be okay. Right? So there's many. So the basic lesson is each one of us as an individual needs to experiment and discover what helps us kind of connect with God's presence at the beginning. But having a regular space and a regular time and a structure helps relieve pressure and helps you battle distractions at the very beginning, which is often when it's hardest, you know, of your time of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Father, I want to thank you for being with us today. Where can people find The Better Part, a Christ-centered resource for personal prayer?
Oh, you can find that book and my other books and online retreats at rcspirituality.org.
All right, again.
That's where you can find all that stuff. And then the book was published by Sophia Institute Press.
All right. So again, Father, thanks so much for taking time out of your schedule and spending it with us. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I'll just really encourage people to if they're feeling moved, to kind of go to the next level in their prayer or to kind of start a more regular prayer life, go with that. trust that God's going to give you what you need, you will not regret it. It's the most important thing. Jesus said that without him, we can do nothing. So we got to stay united to God.
With that, you've been listening to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sopcich, Catholic Blogger. Until next time.
Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch, artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.